Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Pursuit of Relentless Podcast. You've got your host, Elena, here, and I am super pumped for this episode. I know that Matt is going to bring a whole bunch of energy and light to you guys today, so I am so blessed to have you on the show. I would love to hear your story and just be able to share it with the world, because I think that this man is going to change a bunch of people's lives. So welcome to the show, and I'm excited to have you.
Elena, thank you so much for that intro. You're so kind, and I feel the same way about you. You're going to help a lot of people.
Thank you. And you already are.
You already are. Elena and I were having a beautiful conversation before we started about energy and light and spirit and our gifts that we are blessed with by God, the universe, whatever you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
But as we grow and get older, and we go through life and journey, and we have hardships, trials, the people that don't give up, the people that continue on the path that is painful, will grow, and their energy will expand, their spirit will expand. And once your energy and spirit expands, it can never go back to its normal size.
Mm-hmm. I feel that 100%. When you are going through the motions and just like existing, it's so different than when you're intentional about your day. And like this morning, I was not feeling it. I was reading the book, The Power of Intention, and like reading about manifesting and like, I'm gonna manifest my dreams. And then I'm just sitting there like, but then why did I lose my child? You know? And I'm just like, how am I disconnected? Or like, why me, you know, in that why me mentality. And I'm like, nope, I'm not going to stay there. You know, like I can't stay there. And if I sit in that feeling of that frustration, it's not serving me, right? Mm-hmm. Feeling it. Yes. Feel it, own it, next, you know? And so what did I do? I got up, I went for a walk. I was in nature. I was listening to 528 Hertz frequency, just like washing over my body, you know? And I was just like, okay, how do I get this energy back? How do I feel good again today? And like, really?
You changed your state.
And then just listening to that song, Unwritten, it really, really resonates with me. And I posted it in my story today because I'm just like, I want to be a lighthouse to other people. And the lyrics of that song, it's like, feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it for you. Only you can let it in. No one else can speak the words on your lips. You know, I love music, and I love being able to connect to music and just feel the music in my body. So I love what you do as well, and how you help people unleash their voice and like really embrace that gift like you're talking about. So anyways.
Yeah, there's a lot of misconception, I think, about what I do. Like there's a lot of questions about what I do. So I hope that today's podcast with Elena is going to make that very clear, mm-hmm. what I do. You know, the journey that someone is on to live out what they're supposed to do is a very hard journey. Mm-hmm. It's a very lonely journey. It's very dark sometimes. It's hard. It's painful. There's trauma in that. And there's hardships, there's loss. And I think if you look back on the most influential people of all time, and I'm not considering myself an influential person of all time, but what I am saying is that it gives me comfort to know that I'm not alone in the pain and the, mm-hmm. the trials and the trauma and the hardships, that there is hope, that if I stay on that path, that road less traveled, that eventually light will creep in. It has to. And so the story I'm going to talk about today is my origin story. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do it as, you know, as raw and real with hope and love attached as possible.
Yeah.
Because Elena, on the first call I met with her finally, and what's really cool about that is in 2019 we were supposed to connect,
yeah,
because we're both in the Arete Syndicate, and we never did.
Yeah.
And then 2020 we reached out again and we were supposed to connect, and we never did. And then we finally did last week, and it was the right time.
Yeah.
And she's been through a lot, as I know that she's been open with you guys about, and there's reasons why we go through these things. and the lessons that we have to learn in our lifetime to hopefully become fulfilled in our wholeness and who we actually are, so that our soul can come out and say hello. And that's what I help people with. But I help people with it because I've lived it and I'm living it. I grew up in a very small town, 12,000 people, Ark City, Kansas, on the Oklahoma border, 10 miles from the Oklahoma border. And I was a three-sport athlete. So every season I was in a sport. Football, I was a center, I played defensive end, I was a long snapper. Baseball, I was a catcher, third base, right field, left field, and probably the sport that I was the best at was wrestling. And in wrestling, I was a state champion wrestler on a four-time state champion team. At one point, we were ranked number 7 in the nation on ESPN.
That's
And
incredible.
my junior year, well, let me backtrack. My sophomore year, we were playing football, and I remember it was after practice one night, and I was in my bedroom, and it was really kind of, man, I can see it all. I can see the color of my room. It's kind of orangish yellow. It's after practice. You know, I'm laying on my bed, either looking at baseball cards or looking at girls. And I heard like a scream. And my mom knocks on the door and opens it. And she said, "Matt, your grandpa shot himself." And up till that point in my life, there was no tragedy. There was no death, especially to someone as close as my grandpa Bertho. Every season, every holiday, we went to the Bertho farm in Chanute, Kansas. And we had Christmas dinner there. And I'm talking like the family celebrations, 100 people would come to these things. I had second and third cousins. I mean, they had the stereotypical big red barn. They had the tractor. I got to go down to where the cow pond was, down in the bottom of the forest that they had acreage on. And I picked up chickens. I chased chickens. I cut wood, shot my first BB gun, my first gun. So many great memories. And in that moment, all of them completely crashed, and history was changed forever. My grandpa never talked about his feelings. He never expressed them in a real way. I don't even remember him being sad, frustrated, angry. He was a great woodworker, good with his hands. He would spend hours in his garage working on wood, but he never talked about his emotions. He'd take me fishing and he smoked a pipe. He had a white tank top he would wear with a flannel shirt and overalls, wear a baseball cap, and I could see him today, him and my dad, in front of the red swing outside on the pavement during the summer, making homemade ice cream, cranking on that homemade ice cream and putting the salt in the ice and me eating the ice with the salt on it. And then they'd bring the batter out of the ice cream and I'd lick it. And all those memories, like in that moment, felt like it was over. And I remember driving to Chanute for the funeral. And I remember looking outside the Chrysler window and just watching the sky and being like, this isn't real. We're just going to visit. This isn't real. This really didn't happen. And I didn't go to the viewing. I refused to go. And I finally had to go to the funeral. And it was a Catholic service. And the second you walked in the big Catholic doors on the right, open casket, was my grandpa dead. And immediately I just broke down. I walked and everything was a blur. They're just like a mess of colors and tears, right? And I go and I sit down on the pew and I'm just crying and crying and people are putting their hands on me and it's just overwhelming sadness. And I go to the funeral and I go to the cemetery. And at the end of the cemetery, where they did the little final funeral part, I remember grabbing my dad's shoulders and looking at him and saying, "Don't you ever do this." And I meant it because I know, and I don't think I knew what I was saying to him then, but my instinct was so raw that my soul spoke to him that day because I knew he had the same problem. My dad did not talk about his feelings. After that happened, my dad was super depressed and got diagnosed depressed and was taking depression pills. I remember I found these pills in my cabinet and I was like, "What are these, Mom?" And she said, "Oh, those are for your dad. They're his depression pills." I was like, "Okay." I didn't know what that meant. And my dad would never talk about it. And he would just numb himself. He'd drink. He'd make chicken outside. He'd keep himself busy all the time, which is a part of my problem sometimes that I deal with still today, is it's hard for me to sit in pain. I want to fix it. But he would just numb himself and drink and overeat. I love him so much, but I would be embarrassed to bring people over to my house because I didn't know who would show up that day. Kind of like what Ed talks about with his dad, right? But for me, he wasn't abusive. He didn't yell at us. He didn't hit us. He didn't call us names. He just completely disconnected. He just didn't talk about the things that mattered. He abandoned any kind of emotional response. And my mom, God bless her, there were three boys in the family, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I know, that's wild. No John. But me being the oldest, when my mom finally had all three of us graduate from high school, she went back and got her psychology degree and became a professional therapist. But she could never really help my dad because she loved the man that she fell in love with in high school. Right? So after high school, of course I didn't deal with it. There was no therapy for me. I talked to my pastor, I think, about it. But I would try to talk to my grandma, Bertho, about it. And she would tell me, like, oh, there was another woman. I mean, this guy's like 70 something years old. Like, really? Like, grandpa was like trying to have an affair, but I don't know. Like, there were so many stories, and you didn't really know the truth because he didn't talk about things. And so I went to college. Before that, I kind of skipped this part. It's kind of silly. It's fun. It'll lighten it up a little bit. I dated this girl for 2.5 years in high school. All right. And so she broke up with me middle of my junior year. And I went to the counselor's office. And the counselor, his name's Bob Testman. He goes, "Matt, what do you love?" And I said, "Kylie." And he said, "No. What do you love that you're not doing right now?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, like, is there a hobby that you like to do?" "I like to sing a little bit." And he was like, "Really?" I was like, "Yeah, man, I love singing. I'd listen to sing Bon Jovi, Boyz II Men, Garth Brooks." He was like, "Okay, well, we're gonna enroll you in choir." And I was like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 what?" And I was like a jock boy, right? I played the drums in band, had good rhythm. But nobody knew I could sing. I thought I could sing. I could not sing. I was horrible. And I get in a choir that second semester of my junior year of high school, right? So everybody out there is, and especially students, or if you have teenagers that are like, people are making them choose what they're supposed to do right now. It's a bunch of crap, guys. Like, you can do anything you want to do at any moment, all right? I mean, age does matter, like if you want to be in the NBA or the NFL, I guess, but I can't go be a professional football player right now, right? But I joined choir and I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the voice. I would always be able to feel emotions of the artist and people around me. I just couldn't verbalize it. I didn't know the gift. I didn't know what I was doing, all right?
There's
But
got chance.
I knew it was great. And I knew what wasn't great. I knew what was like excellent and life-changing, and I knew what wasn't excellent and life-changing. I would go in my bathroom and lock the door and put my CD Walkman on and turn on Lion King. And I would literally direct in front of the mirror a giant group of people singing and the musicians and the orchestra. And I would visualize that like in 1992, and I started to believe it. And I fell in love with Hans Zimmer. He's one of the best score writers in movie history, and also John Williams. He did all the Star Wars movies, Indiana Jones. But there was something about both of them that I was like, man, I just feel this so deeply. Like this, the emotion that they attached to music that tells a deeper story in the movie. And I say it out loud right now, and that's literally what I'm doing with my clients in life now, is I help people let their soul come out and say hello. But we'll get to that in a second. So I joined choir, I went to college, I completely quit sports cold turkey. In that process, I changed my major 3 times. I was music ed, vocal emphasis, and then I went to vocal performance. They told me I had to learn foreign language, so I was like, nope. And then I changed to religion, right? And then I didn't like what happened behind the doors at the churches that I was a part of. It was a lot of business, a lot of money stuff. And I was like, no, we're here to change lives. We're here to let spirit lead, right? And so I had this experience. I went to Boise State. I was a county counselor of all these seniors, going to be seniors in high school, the top 10% leaders in the state of Kansas. So athletes, big time smart kids, debate, drama kids, musicians. And I had 90 of them, and there were 10 counties. So there was 900 people at this event. And so it was in 2 dorms in Goodnow and Marlatt Hall at Kansas State University. And I was an entire floor. And for 3 years, I got to lead 90, 80 to 90 gonna be seniors in high school to be their full potential. And so the speech was, so you guys are the best in the state of Kansas. That's what I've been told. So there's no ceiling on your potential. And I want you to find out how good are you really, but don't prove it to me. Don't prove it to anybody out there. Prove it to yourself. How good are you? And that was a speech I gave every year, and these kids would just blow everyone away. They would destroy everyone to the point George Rothweiler, he was in charge of grading all the projects at the end of the day. We'd have these city and county projects. It was a simulated government program where the kids learned about city, county, and state government, and they had elections. It's a big freaking deal. George pulled me aside. This was my last year as a county counselor, and I'll never forget this. It was in front of Goodnow Hall. I was walking to my Jeep, and he stopped me. He goes, "What did you do?" I go, "What do you mean, what did I do?" He goes, "I don't get it. What did you do that's different than the other 9 county counselors that were in charge of those kids? Why were your projects perfect? Every single project that was turned in by these kids were literally perfect. How did you do that?" And I just kind of smiled and I said, "George, I just told them there's no ceiling on their potential and to be their best, not for anyone else, but for themselves. And that's what you got." Now, I hold them accountable to that because that was our goal, to be our best. And that's why you got those projects the way you did. He goes, "Matt, I've never seen anything like that." So I went back to Friends University, and I talked to the guy that I told basically to F off. I'm done with music ed forever. Angela and I call that Hurricane Matt. It's like a Cat 5 version of me. I'd say stupid things when I get into that mode. But I went back to him on my hands and knees, and I said, "Man, I'm supposed to be a teacher." And he goes, "Okay, Matt, well, you're going to have to write a letter of why we should even let you back in the program, and you have to pass math for liberal arts with a C or better." I said, "Done." Long story real short, it took me 6.5 years to graduate. And I know it's a big Tommy boy, like funny thing. I'm not a doctor, but I graduated and I had a choice. I was working as sales at what they called SC Telecom, and I was the manager of sales there. And then I got approached from Bob Casper, the manager of Ethanol Corporation in Wichita, Kansas. He was actually one of my first voice students, by the way, because I was doing side hustle by coaching voice lessons at Friends University in the practice rooms. That CEO was literally one of my first clients. He would come in with his penny loafers and his little polo shirt with his guitar, and we would sing praise songs.
Cool.
One of my first clients. It was like God going, "This is where you're going. Not there now, Matt, but this is where we're going." So I had a choice to work at Ethanol Corporation in Wichita, SCTEL, come in as a manager, or be a teacher. And so I'm at Baccalaureate, and Jim Smith goes, this is the end of his speech. He's one of my mentors. He says, the best thing you can do in your life is help somebody else. I was like, okay, I'm going to be a teacher. That's what I'm supposed to do. Not supposed to chase money. I'm supposed to chase people. So went to Winfield High School. I taught there for 19 years. For years, I would have 30 to 40 private voice students a week on top of my teaching job. I was up for Grammy Teacher of the Year, Master Teacher of the Year, but the experience and the growth that happened with me by being a public school teacher, I started to understand, wait a second, I give so much to everybody else. What am I giving myself? I need to come back and I need my life back. I need my health back. And then January 2017, 2000, no, January 2018, I literally outside on the 1st of January yelled at God, I want my health back. So when I gave up sports cold turkey, Elena, I gained 100 pounds from my wrestling weight. So I weighed 272 pounds. I yo-yoed for a while and I ran every day. For the last 12 years, I've ran every single day consecutive. But that happened after Leonardo was born. Max was born in 2009. Leonardo was born in 2015. And those are the loves of my life. We'll get to the rest of the story of that family dynamic in a second. But career-wise, I yelled at God with my voice. I made a statement. And within 6 months, I lost 60 pounds. And then I got to play Stacy Jacks in the musical Rock of Ages, wearing some skinny white pants and a mesh kind of t-shirt thing with long hair, right? And I weighed, I think at that point, 159, 160 pounds. It was not very healthy. But I realized something. I was like, holy crap, I said that out loud and I meant it and I had such emotion attached to it and I was desperate and I desired it and it worked. I wonder what else could work if I yell with that kind of energy and that kind of passion. And I yell at God. And so I started doing that every year. And in 2019, my chiropractor, Doug Swanson, said, hey, you need to listen to this guy, Ed Mylett, and Andy Frisella. You need to listen to these guys. I'm like, what are you talking about? Okay, what a podcast, whatever. And so I listened to Ed Mylett, and Joe Dispenza was the first episode that I listened to. And I was like, holy crap, man. They're speaking my language. And about that time, I had to give a presentation in London about performance magic. And so I had to get that book, Becoming Supernatural by Dr. Joe Dispenza. And so then I listened to the MFCEO with Vaughn and Andy. And I was like, man, I like how they talk. This is so good. And then Andy had James Lawrence on his podcast, and he challenged all of us to do this program that none of you MFers are gonna finish called 75 Hard. And this is what it is. So I was like, that's it. I'm gonna do this shit. Like, this is what I'm gonna do. This is the next level of me. And then they started talking about this Arete Syndicate thing. And I was like, we just had a car payment go up, Andrea. It was $397. That's how much my membership will be. I wanna be a part of that club. I wanna be around people like me. And so I joined it. I went to the first live event in St. Louis, and I didn't know why I was there. I set my intention. I made up these intention steps based off of Joe Dispenza's book, Energy is Frequency, Frequency Carries Information. That was the phrase that changed my life forever. Stephanie Van Damme knew me from hashtag 75 Hard. That's how we knew each other. That's how the whole community kind of started knowing each other. And she sat in front of me at Arete Live in St. Louis, and she turned around to me and she goes, "Matt, I gotta tell you something." I said, "Okay, well, tell me." She goes, "Not yet." I was like, "Okay, Stephanie." And then she finally turned around, I think after the first speaker, and she goes, "Hey, did you know that Tony Robbins has a voice coach?" And I was like, "That's it. That's why I'm here. I know what I'm supposed to do." The next day, I sat down with Stephanie and Dylan Lockhart and a couple other Arete people. We wrote the business plan, and I connected with everybody I could connect with. Got on a call with Nathan Mansfield on a Zoom call, just like we are right now. Showed him what I do. He goes, "Holy shit." I go, "What?" He goes, "Matt, I thought you were full of shit. I was just giving you a chance, man. I'm gonna hire you." And the rest is history, Elena. Since then, I've coached about 100 business professionals on how to find their voice. Now, I've got it dialed in now, though. I've got an 8-session program. But the way that I help people is with the Estill Voice training, and that is surgical. It's this craft. So imagine, like, you guys do something for a long time. Let's say 13 years, you have done this certain thing. And in my case, it was teaching people how to sing a certain way for 13 years. And then you go to a 5-day workshop and you realize that everything you taught was never researched, never validated. It was all smoke and mirrors. And there was no science behind it at all. And I remember Friday night after the Estill workshop with Kim Steinhauer, my Jedi master, she's my trainer. I cried in my bathroom because I had to go after spring break and tell all my clients, all my students, all of my choirs, "Hey, everything I taught you, I was completely wrong about craft, about technique. We're gonna do this new thing and make these sounds. E-ah-oo, 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 e-ah-oo. And we're gonna make these sounds. I'm gonna make you vocal athletes. That's what we're gonna do." And I did. I made them vocal athletes. But that training helped me be an Estill Master Trainer candidate now, which is what I am. I had to pass crazy, stupid tests that are, nerdy as crap, but they're supposed to be nerdy. They're supposed to be hard. And I have one more thing that I have to pass, is just observations and teaching to be a full-fledged Estill Master Trainer. But the work that is the craft, it helps people with voice issues. It helps people that have, maybe have some hardships, like that are happening in their throat with their vocal folds. But the craft of that technique allows me to speak even when my voice is sore. It allows me to sing anything I want to sing, like literally anything that I want to sing. And I'm able to help business professionals become vocal athletes now and get confidence and courage because they're trained with this craft. The next part of it is storytelling, which I just gave a story to everybody, and I hope you felt it. But I didn't leave you in sadness, did I? I
No.
didn't leave you in despair and depressed. I gave you hope and love the entire time. That's performance magic. When you felt me and you got goosebumps and you wanted to cry and you saw the visions of that red swing set and my dad and my grandpa cranking on the ice cream, that's all because I see it first. But before that, I had to feel it first. I had to feel those memories and see the sun and see the cherry trees and see the concrete and see my grandpa and my dad joking around, cranking on those old ice cream. And if you see that, I'm doing my job. So what's happened in the last 3 years? I'm no longer in public school. God kind of pushed me out because in 2019 I felt the calling already. And I tried to stay because I love those kids. I love creating with those kids. I love doing music with those kids. But every year that I tried to stay in, it got harder. COVID happened. I got more vocal about how I felt about the things that we had to do, the masks, the policies. kids could stand up and say, F you, I'm not going to do that. They could bring blankets in. They could go to their safe space and just ditch and not come to class. And I got written up, and I got disciplined because of that, because I was like, they're taking advantage of some of this. It's not authentic. They're taking the easy way out. And eventually, May 2nd, this last year, I got my keys taken away. I got suspended indefinitely because a girl said that I targeted and bullied her. And I would never do that. I would never do that. Now, do I hold people accountable for their actions and tell them to put their phones away and to pay attention? Absolutely. But that's not bullying. That's holding people accountable. And I didn't stop teaching a certain way my whole life. Like, it just got better as I got older. But I can't help that people feel what I feel. Right? That's the gift and the curse sometimes, right? Because it's always on for me. But that's what I teach my clients how to do, is how to attach that emotion and that spirit to their words so that they will never be forgotten. So I went all in on Voice by Matt in May, and I got like 25 to 30 clients like within a month and a half. And I had to raise my price because it was just getting overwhelming. I was literally going from like 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. almost every day, back to back calls. No time for the podcast, no time for speaking events, no time for Andrea, Max, and Leo. Which brings me to this. I'm in Vienna, Austria. It's August 5th. I had a fight with someone that we took into our lives that I was helping out quite a bit. She was on the trip with me. Both of us said some hateful things to each other, and my wife wanted to have a mediation with the person that was with us and her and our marriage counselor. Because me going through a lot of this trauma, I haven't told this part yet. In June 2020, my dad died of the Widowmaker heart attack. But I will say this, 3 years before that, I called him out that he didn't say, I love you to me. And on the phone, he said, Matt, I didn't even know I didn't say that to you. So for 2 years, I got to hear him say, I love you, Elena. For 2 years, I got to hear him say that. But then he passed away in June 2020. And it wrecked me. I got panic attacks. I get so frustrated and so angry. And it never really completely healed because it took time. It took time. And of course, me, do I want to hear it takes time for me to heal? No, I'm not patient at all, right? So August 5th, I jump on the marriage counseling call with my wife at the time, Andrea, and this person that we're taking care of. And we go over our goals, and Andrea gets, it's her turn to talk. And she says, Matt, there's not a good time to do this, so I'm gonna do it now. I'm gonna divorce you over a Zoom call. And I was like, I just went carnal. I lost my mind. I muted myself, and it was just so painful. I cried and I cried, and the most horrible thoughts went through my head. The same thoughts my grandpa went through and my dad, I'm sure. But I woke up the next day, and I ran. I did Wim Hof and I did my meditation. And I had to book my assistant at the time and the person that we were taking care of. I had to book them flights home. And I was alone, completely alone, no support system, completely on a different time zone. I had nobody to talk to. It was horrible. It was the worst feeling in my entire life. It was worse than losing my grandpa, losing my dad. And I was like, God, why are you doing this? I need help. And God told me to stay on track, that I should hold on to Unmute in New York City, which was a speaking event that I was doing. And I wanted to just fold. I wanted to quit everything. I had a couple clients that I had to give refunds to because my energy was not what it should be in that time, but only two out of like 30, right? Everybody else, they knew what I was going through, and I'd show up for them the best I possibly could. But, think about it, like, I lost my dad, COVID, I lost my job at the high school, and now I'm losing a person that we took care of and my marriage. And one of the reasons why, and this is the lesson too, right? I got divorced because my energy was to everyone else and not to Max, Leo, and Andrea.
Hmm.
So you can bet your ass I learned that lesson. I'm the greatest dad ever to Max and Leo now. But my marriage is over. Like, I am completely divorced. It was final in December. But since that moment, met Angela at Unmute in New York, and she's perfect for me. And, she's here right now.
I love her.
She's visiting, and we're a great team. And we're building an events together, and she's helping me with my business. I'm helping her with her speaking. But we're a really great team. And, I'm not used to like the affection from her, so it's something I'm working on, because I'm a loner, man. I'm an individual in every sense of the way, man. Like, I don't need external motivation. Like, it's all internal for me. I'm a force. I'm a driven force. And so I tell you all of that to tell you where I'm at now. I have clients all over the globe. I just spoke yesterday to 500 people in Mike Sherrard and Louis Galt's group for their real estate group on how to use your voice. And I talked to them exactly like I'm talking to you today. And I got crazy comments. Just thank you so much for this, being vulnerable and sharing your soul and letting people see who we really are, being authentic to who we really are. But that's the magic, Elena. The magic is you being you full blast and not apologizing for it and not giving up when the hardest shit hits the fan and staying on that hard path that is the road less traveled, because there's a reason why you're on earth. There's a reason why we've been through this hard stuff. I want to wrap it up with this. After my dad passed away, my mom had three funerals for him, one in Arc City, one in Texas, and one in Chanute, Kansas. I had to speak and sing at every single one of those.
That'd be so hard.
I was in San Antonio visiting Nathan, and we were doing a meditation on his porch. And I did a 4-minute breath hold with Wim Hof, and I did this meditation. And in that meditation, my dad, like he was in my sacred space every time. So my sacred space is like this green grass hill. There's a tree to your left, and then there's like a beach, and then ocean in front of me. And it changes colors all the time. And sometimes the tree has fruit, sometimes it's blooming, but the grass is always green. But the weather changes. And when my dad died, my dad showed up in that space every time I went in meditation, and he's fishing. Every time. And I forgot about that part when I did this meditation, and I'm in it. I'm like floating. I got this like cape on. I'm flying around. I'm feeling so good. And my dad is fishing. Now, before I tell this part of the story, I gotta say this part. 2 weeks before my dad died, my brother Luke texted me and said, "Hey, would you go with me and Mark and dad to Grand Lake and go fishing?" And Elena, I'll never forget this for the rest of my life. I screenshotted it. I said, "Nah, man, fishing's not my thing anymore." That's what I said to him. So I'm in my meditation in November after my dad passed away in June, and I'm having the best time, and I'm ignoring my dad. He's fishing. And I finally make it back down to the sand. I'm laying in the sand, just getting all these downloads, and I open my eyes in meditation, not in real life. And there's my dad looking at me. And he's like, "I want to teach you how to fish." I was like, "Dad, I already know how to fish, man. I'm good. I'm so good." He goes, "No, I want to teach you how to fish. Come on." I was like, "Oh my God. Really? Okay. Wow. Yeah, I mean, we are going to do your funeral, so sure, let's do this." So we go out to the ocean and we're wading, knee deep, right? And he's like, "First, you got to have your pole." And he puts his hand out, and this gold pole comes out of his wrist and he grabs it. And of course, me being the son that I am, I'm looking off into the horizon like, okay, we've done this before. Thanks, Dad. This is awesome. And then, Matt, you got to bait it. And there's a gold hook. And I didn't see him bait it because, again, I'm just like over this, right? And then you cast it, and he casted it, shoo, and it goes in the ocean. And he looks at me and he smiles, says, "That's how you fish, Matt." I was like, "Cool, Dad. Thanks for showing me that." He goes, "Now it's your turn." Now, when I was 6 years old, I was at the cow pond at the Reinhardt Milk Farm, and it started thunderstorming. And I was 6 years old, and I had my little Snoopy fishing pole and the little bobber, and the bobber went and it just vanished. And I was like, "Dad, Dad, I caught a shark. I caught a shark, Dad." And it's lightning. And my dad came over and he grabbed me and he reeled in this moss carp that was 45 pounds.
A big fish.
Yeah. I took a picture by it, by the red swing set, the whole thing. So I already knew how to fish. But then he goes, "Now it's your turn, Matt." And I'm like, "Come on, Dad." He goes, No, it's your turn." And he walks behind me in this vision. He puts his hands on my shoulders, and I turn into 6-year-old me that fast. He goes, "Put your hand out, Matt." I put my hand out. This gold pole comes out of my wrist, and I grab it. And then this gold hook comes down. He goes, "Now you have to bait it." And I go, "Dad, there's no bait." He goes, "Yeah, you know how to do it. Put your hands out, put your love out." And this mist of gold started coming out of my chest, and I started forming this glob of this bait, this golden bait on this hook. He goes, "Now cast it." I reared back, shoo, and I went into the ocean and sunk into the ground. And he looked at me in his blue eyes, just like mine, and he said, "Matt, now you know how to fish for people." And I woke up, Elena, and I was sobbing. I was crying because that's his legacy for me to remember my gift. Because, Elena, I am fishing for people. I am trying to help people and pull them out of their shit and pull them out of this fake ass human form that they're in and let their soul come out and say hello. And I get that right now in this moment. I understand it. I get it. But when that moment happened, it was the circle of life. And I am the one on my family tree that is changing. I will express myself with my emotions. I will speak about everything. I'm changing the family tree. And I'm not only changing my family tree, I'm changing yours and everybody that listens to this podcast and everybody that I help to show emotion with their words. Because if you do not have emotion with your words, that energy with your words will fall short. They will not be remembered. You will be completely forgotten. If Martin Luther King Jr. didn't give the I Have a Dream speech the way he did, no one would remember him. But he did it on instinct. I'm just going to throw this in there as a little closing for everybody too. So when Martin was creating the I Have a Dream speech, it was a big deal. The Million Man March, I mean, into DC, like it's huge, right? Well, his team stayed up the night before the speech and they were writing the speech. And he had papers, stacks of papers like this, of what he could talk about. This is one of the most important speeches of all time, all right? And it's the day of the speech. He has a stack of papers on the podium. You can see it if you watch the video. And he starts to fumble around. He starts to do the speech. And he starts to kind of fumble around a little bit. And Miss Jackson is sitting up there with him behind him. And she sees him fumbling. And it's like, you know, people talk about the trigger that's inside of us, right? There's like this on switch where your spirit is like, it like lights up, right? And this is all she had to say to him. "Martin, tell him about the dream." And that's it. He pushed his papers aside and he talked to them about the dream. "I have a dream." And that's it. Was he trained? Yes. Did he work on his craft? Yes. Did he work on his storytelling? Yes. Was he inspired by the spirit? Yes. And in that moment, all the work, all the speeches, everything he worked on completely got to come out and say hello. If she wouldn't have said that, we would not have the I Have a Dream speech.
Yeah, it's incredible.
So that's my story, Elena. That's how we are at this point right now.
Yeah.
And you in DC is going to happen March 8th. It's $497. There's 8 to 10 speakers that are going to be sharing their story about how they found their voice and encouraging people with tactics and strategies, stories that maybe people can relate with to help people find, keep, share, and connect their voice. And so it's going to be March 8th at the Tower Club in Washington, D.C. The Marriott's right by it. It's only $4.97. You get a light lunch. You get some snacks throughout the day. I'm sure that people will probably want to go out to eat afterwards and hang out, but the event itself is only $497 to see some really, really amazing people share their soul.
Well, I feel like everyone here is feeling your soul right now, and I am so grateful for that. This is the least I've spoken on my show, and
Oh.
I'm just literally sitting here like, wow, this is exactly how it needed to be. Exactly how it needed to be, because you've helped so many people just through your own storytelling, feel their story and be able to express their story. And Ed says it best. He said, you never know the power of one conversation,
Yeah.
right? And it's in those moments when you can feel yourself, like, I see myself through your story, and it's like 2018. That's exactly the timeline. I was 296 pounds. I was literally sitting there going, I want a better life. I know I was built for more than this. Right. And guess what I did? 75 hard. Right? I did 75 hard. I failed, like you said I was gonna. And like literally, I just challenged myself to do it again. And then I joined Arete. And then boom, 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 had the best year in business. I dropped 100 pounds that year. Like it was just like stacking wins. And I was unstoppable. Unstoppable. And then tragedy hit. And I was like, shit. And then I was like, I'm not going to let this get me down. I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm going to keep pursuing that greatest version of myself. And I think I found it. Right? So I'm going to get real emotional if I don't stop there. So I just want people to take this story and unleash their own. Right. And share it because we're a holistically grown podcast. And you guys know that. And I know that this is a really powerful movement that you're creating here. You're sharing people's stories in a way that nobody else is. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you for seeing that, Elena,
Yeah, you're
and
powerful.
feeling that, most importantly.
So good. All right, guys, share it. This has been an incredible episode. I'm sorry for my like overwhelming emotions, but I'm excited. I'm gonna do what I can to be there in Washington. I've never been to Washington before, so that'd be cool.
Yeah, we could tour.
Oh.
We could do some tours and see some monuments.
Yeah. Well, and I'm excited. I get to see you next weekend in Banff, so that's gonna be real
That's
cool,
right. That's going to be
right?
legit. I don't even know what
Yeah.
to expect. I've never been to Banff, Canada. That's going to be amazing.
It's incredible. You want to talk about energy? You feel it there.
Oh, I'm
It's a
ready.
room full of people who are not paid to sit in that room. They're just there to take it all in and experience something different, which is what I expect your event to be like, right? Just you go open-minded and you go with an intention of, yelling to God and just going, hey, I'm here.
I can't wait.
Show
I
up for
can't wait.
myself, and just go for it. So, anyways, I could talk to you for days, but I am very grateful for your story. I'm very grateful for your time today, and I'm excited for people to get access to you. I'm going to make sure that I share all of your information that you've shared with me today.
Yeah, and if anybody is looking for a voice coach or you want to connect with me, we can have an intro call. It's a 30-minute call. Just reach out to me on Voice by Matt on Instagram or Matt Bertho on Facebook or Voice by Matt on Facebook. If you want to email me directly, it's voicebymatt@gmail.com, or you can use matt@voicebymatt.com.
Perfect. And I'll link all of that in the show notes as well so that everyone can get access to you because, man, that was a powerful, powerful conversation. So thank you again.
Thank you, Elena.
All right, guys. Until next time, that's Pursuit of Relentless signing out.